turn your Bible, if you will, please, to Leviticus chapter number 20. Leviticus chapter number 20. This is lesson number 4 on the subject of separation. Separation, we're going to call it probably biblical separation, a very, very simple title. If you miss lessons, I surely wish that you would either go online or order the CD and listen to them. The first handful of lessons, the first 4, maybe the first 6 or 7 altogether, will be building. We lay a foundation and then we work upon that foundation. Leviticus chapter 20 is where we're going to start tonight. If you would, why don't you stand, and in a moment I'm going to read the scripture to you, Leviticus chapter 20. If you look right at me for a second, you'll find in an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church that's of the old-time religion, we lose a lot of people because of the subject of separation. There'll be people that'll come, they'll get saved, but they don't want to be separate from the world. Separation's taught all the way through the Bible. You say, well, Pastor, do you want to lose those people? No, I do not. But I also don't want to lose the blessing of God on my life, and I don't want to lose the blessing of God on my church. And it's not all about just getting a whole bunch of people. It's about being right with God. And separation is still a subject that is in the Bible, and it's to be lived in this day and age. Leviticus chapter number 20, go to verse number 25. The Bible says this, "Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. Ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast, or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. A man also, or woman, that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them." In all actuality, the verse that will get us started tonight is verse number 26, where he said, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine." Tonight, we're going to talk about this. This is the title, Separation is from something to something. Separation is from something to something. And that's the title. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. I want to give you my mind, and I want you to control what I say, control what we hear. May we put the cares of life behind us, and may we, Father, tonight concentrate. Holy Spirit of God, reach into our hearts, reach into our minds, and help us to understand the Scripture, and then help us not only to understand it, but then to live it. For to understand it and not live it seems hypocrisy. It seems the wrong way to be educated spiritually and yet not live it. Help us tonight that we would learn something, but that learning would apply to our lives, please. Holy Spirit, do something special in this place, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I've been thinking about the subject of separation, and I believe that from my perspective as a pastor, I've been around churches for a long time. I've been around growing churches for a long time. And right now, the thing that our church probably needs the most to help get us to the next level of reaching people and expanding our influence in our community, we need to learn, understand, and grasp the truths behind this subject of separation. Separation's everywhere. It's everywhere. For instance, if you go to the grocery store, there is separation that is taking place. They do not have the meat with the cereal. Oscar Mayer hot dogs are not with the Fruit Loops. Okay? All right? Because they're separated from each other. They don't have the deodorant or antiperspirant with the eggs. Right? And you like that. Matter of fact, that makes sense to you. And if you found the deodorant on the same rack with the eggs, you'd say, that needs to be changed. That's not right. They don't have the tomatoes with the Windex. Okay? Now, this is good Bible teaching here. right? Well, they're separated. The meat is separated from the cereal, and the deodorant is separated from the eggs, and the tomato is separated from the Windex. And we like that, and it makes sense, because it's better that way. Now, see, everywhere you go, separation is practiced. But here's what happens. The world picks its own separation. And then we need to be careful as Christians. If we're not careful, then we practice our own separation. I'm not saying that all the separation in the world is wrong, but I am telling you there are some separations taught in the Bible that are definitely right. A Christian should yield themselves to God and let God help them with their separation. I think serious Christians let the Bible dictate their separation. Our church believes in separation. We believe in personal separation. You say, what's that? That's where we, as individual Christians, are to live separate from some things in the world. I believe in ecclesiastical separation. We don't yoke up with everything out there that calls itself a church or a ministry. We're old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptists, and that's the kind of people that we associate with. And so we believe in separation. The word ecclesiastical comes from the word ecclesia. The word ecclesia is churching, where the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That word assembling there, it's the churching. It's the Greek word ecclesia. So ecclesiastical separation is church separation. And then there is the act of personal separation. Now, you have to understand something, though. You could attend a church that is separated, but you not be separated as a person within that church. Yeah, you say, well, what ought to happen? Well, it ought to be that we as individuals are living the doctrine and the teaching of separation. But as a pastor, it's my job to make sure that I guide us in the area of separation in our church. And so you all know, I don't render apologies about separation. I can't do that. It's taught in the Bible, and it's what we're supposed to do. Now, notice if you look in our text, and I'm not expecting that you kept your Bible open there, but I'm going to go back to Leviticus chapter 20 for a second. And Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 26, it says something, and this is kind of the springboard into tonight's sermon. Leviticus 20:26, it says, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I am the Lord. The Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine." Now, I want you to notice here, it says, God said, I've severed you from other people. And then he said, that you should be mine. So he is teaching that separation is from something to something. He said, I have separated you from some people, and you are separated from them unto me. And the whole concept of separation is from something to something. Now, I'm going to break this down. The lesson, I don't think, is lengthy. And it's very, very simple. I'll be honest, I've never heard anyone teach a lesson like I'm about to teach. I know it's in the Bible. I've heard people talk about this concept, but I've never heard it preached. And it's been a delight for me to prepare it. Listen to this. Separation, and number one, separation is wrongly seen as merely taking things away. I said separation is wrongly seen by people as merely taking things away. A verse, if I may, Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, you know what the devil wants? The devil wants you to see separation as if God is taking things away from you, and he's almost as if he's doing it unkindly. And there's some people, I'm telling you, there are people that can be taught separation, and they feel like that when separation is being taught, that somebody's trying to do something to them. You're trying to hurt me. You're trying to take something from me. And so my first point is, separation is wrongly seen or perceived as merely the taking away of things. So there are people, when you talk to them about separating from the world, they say, that mean God? God's mean. Some of you young people, your dad requires some separation in your life. So you know what you think of your dad? He's mean. My dad's being mean to me. Mom can say there's some things you're not going to have in your life. And so we say, that mean mom? That mean God? And God knows, I can tell you this next one's true. That mean preacher? That mean God? That mean dad? That mean mom? That mean preacher? That mean youth pastor? That mean children's church preacher or director up there trying to tell us to separate from some things? That mean Sunday school teacher? That mean Baptist? That mean Bible? That mean church? That mean old time religion? That mean Christian school? Hey, and let me tell you something. If God does take some things, He has every right to do it, and He's still not mean. But there is a wrong perception that separation is God or someone coming along and taking from us. And it's all about taking. Separation, folks, is gain, not loss. Separation is good, not bad. Separation is positive, not negative. Separation is right, it's not wrong. Separation is advancement, it's not retreat. And separation is not just taking things away. Separation is not just eliminating things from your life. Separation is not just removing things. It's not just moving away from something. It's not just quitting the bad. But I have to tell you, especially the younger, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but the less mature someone is, the more they see that something's just being taken away from them. And somehow, because we're so self-centered and our main concern is me, we feel like somebody's hurting us. You're trying to take something away from me. You're trying to cheat me. You're trying to shortchange me. Let me tell you something. I testify, and I think there are probably other Christians in here that could do the same thing. All the things God's ever taken away from me, I'm glad He did. Back when He took it, it wasn't always pleasant. And I didn't always understand it, and I didn't always quickly accept it, but I am so glad that I, by faith, let Him take some things out of my life, because I can testify 100%. God's never taken anything from me that didn't need to be moved. And it's not just because He was taken from me, He was going to give me something better in His place. And so, separation is wrongly perceived as merely the taking away of things. Number two, separation is a two-part process. Separation is a two-part process. And remember, I think the Bible teaches that separation is from something to something. Now you, if you're not careful, if you think separation is just taking something, you've only stopped halfway through. It might be why you think mean mom, mean dad, mean preacher, mean Bible, mean Baptist, mean Sunday school teacher. You think I'm just losing, but I'm not gaining. You may feel that way. And again, I have to, on God's behalf, say if God took it and didn't give you anything in its place, God's God, and God can do what God wants to do. But in the process of this thing called separation, it is going from one place to another. It's giving something up, but you're turning to something totally different. Now, I'm going to read to you some scripture. Again, I don't mind you turning to the scripture, but I really do want you to keep up. And if you don't keep up, don't be flipping pages and missing the entire teaching. One can do that quite easily. Listen to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It says this, "Who had delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Now remember, the whole concept tonight is separation is from something to something. Now listen again to separation being taught here in Colossians 1:13. Listen to the wording and see if you see what it is from and where we are going to. It says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Do you see the separation? Do you see it's from something to something? And that's what all separation does for us. It takes us from something to something. Now, I'm going to read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I'll read to you 1 Thessalonians 4 verse number 7. And listen real carefully to the verse and be watching for the from and the to. Let's see if you pick up on how God is moving us in separation from something to something. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, it says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." In other words, he said, "I'm moving you from uncleanness to holiness." That's what separation is. Now, so you understand, God, uncleanness is not good for you. Holiness is good for you. Darkness is not good for you. Light is good for you. And God is not doing something to you in separation. He is doing something for you in separation. Now, sometimes that's hard to understand. That there are some of you, if your child was a toddler and two and just able to walk and maybe take off running on you, when you take them to Walmart and you get them out of the car seat and you put them out on the street, they will take off on you. And you know, you'll grab them and stick them in a corner and say, "Don't you move." Now, when you did that, were you trying to hurt them? You were doing something for them, not to them. But you know what? You could take a two-year-old, you could separate them from the danger, they could get mad at you. They could be irritated with you. They could stand there and cry. They feel cheated. They wanted freedom. Is it freedom for a two-year-old to be running around the parking lot by themselves? That's really captivity, isn't it? But they thought they were looking for freedom. And I'm going to tell you, there are Christians everywhere that they say, "I want my freedom." There are people everywhere, they say, "I want my freedom to do this," or "I want my freedom to do that." And God is trying to protect them. And the less mature they are, the more hurt they are by it, and the more offended they are by it. But God is not trying to do something to them. He's trying to do something for them. And so God is not just trying to take something away. He's trying to add to you a protection. And so, salvation is wrongly seen as just taking away. But salvation is a two-part process. It is the going from something to something. Now, let me read another verse to you. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll look at verse number 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. And I want you to listen again. We're wanting to learn about this from something to something concept that the Bible's teaching. So in 2 Corinthians 6, 17, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, God said, you come out from among them. He's saying you separate from some. And then he said, then I will receive you. So he's saying there are some that we should stay away from as we're getting close to him. So do you see again, it's from something to something. "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." Now the two, "And I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." So he said that I'm going to take you from darkness to light. I'm going to take you from uncleanness to cleanness. I'm going to take you from among them and the unclean thing to where I am, and you'll be living like my children. And so God is showing us from and to. Now, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. And again, as I read the scripture, I want you to notice the from and the to. He's saying in 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now you see the word from in there. You don't see the word to, but there is a comma in there that separates the two sides. He said this. He said, I'm going to cleanse you from all filthiness. In other words, he said, I want you to go from filthiness to a perfecting of your holiness. So there is from and to. God is trying to take from us things that he feels that are not good for us. And you say, well, Brother Owens, I just don't understand how thus and so is not good for us. Did you know that you don't have to understand? Now, I want to understand, and I'm not asking that we all live in total oblivion to understanding of the Scripture, but I am going to tell you something. If God said, do it, you don't understand it. If I were you, I'd do it. There are people in here, you say, well, I don't understand why you're supposed to tithe. You don't have to understand why you're supposed to tithe. You're just supposed to tithe. But, now, there's a lot of reasons. I could talk to you about hours on why God wants you to tithe, but I'm here to say to you, you say, I don't understand that element of separation. That doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't have to make sense to you. It has to make sense to God. There's all sorts of people in here. You are parents. There are things that you have separated your children from, and your children have no idea why you have separated them from those things. And as parents, you expect your children to do what they're told because dad knows best or mom knows best. Well, let me tell you something. Your Heavenly Father knows best. He knows best. He knows what you need to separate from. So separation is this two-part process. It's from something to something. It's from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. It is from uncleanness. It is to holiness. It is from the coming out from among them and touching not the unclean thing unto Him, and He'll be like a father to us. It's from filthiness to the perfecting of holiness. Now, I'm going to read another verse to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 9. And listen again to the from and the to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 9. It says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, God said, we are to turn from idols to the living and the true God. Now, whatever idols those are. But there is, again, from and to. John chapter 5, verse number 24. Listen to the from and figure out where we're going to. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The concept of separation is not just from something. You know that God was not just trying to save you from eternal death. He was trying to give you eternal life. God was not just trying to take you out of darkness. God was trying to take you out of darkness and put you into the light of Jesus Christ. And separation is not just God trying to take you out of the world. He's trying to get you into a spiritual life. Now, let me give you another. I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 6, verse number 11. And listen to the from and the to. We're watching what God wants us, the move that He wants us to make. Romans 6:11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he said, the process of salvation, we're to be dead to sin and alive unto the Lord. We ought to want to die to the sins of our life and live unto Jesus Christ. You say, who's Jesus Christ? He's the Word of God. I want to be dead to sin, but I want to be alive to the Word of God. So this thing of separation, it's from darkness to light. It's from bad to good. It's from fleshly to spiritual. It's from worldly to heavenly. So many people, when separation is brought to them, hey, and may I testify, when separation came to me, I was a 16-year-old boy. I was going to a little country church in central Indiana. The preacher got up and he said some things about things he thought we ought to eliminate from our lives, things that we ought to separate from. And I thought, oh, come on, God loves everybody. Well, God loves me. That's why he's trying to get me to separate. Separation is not an act of hatred. If so, you parents, why don't you let your kids play with snakes? Give your kids liberty. Give them Christian liberty. Right? Let them play with a snake. Let them play in the yard. You say, no, I love them. So separation is an act of love, isn't it? And it is misinterpreted, though. And who, by who? The liberals and the devil. Separation is so much seen as just taking away, and it's a harshness and it's a meanness, and that is not the concept at all. Separation is an act of love. As a pastor, if I love you, I want to tell you about the things that will hurt you. And I need to try to protect you. As parents, you're going to tell your kids about the things that will hurt them, and you want them to live separate. Let me tell you something. God has more separation expectations of your kids than what you ever will, parents. God is our Heavenly Father. So, I said, number one, separation is wrongly perceived as the taking away. And it's a meanness. It's a negative. I said, number two, separation is a two-part process. It is from something to something. Now, the part of the lesson that will be a little more difficult for you. I am going to illustrate separation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24, it mentions being dead to sin, and we should live unto righteousness. Okay? For instance, we ought to separate from and to. I think we ought to separate from cussing to praising and speaking clean and spiritual. God's last name doesn't start with a D. Jesus Christ doesn't need to be brought into your ranting and your raving. You say, hey, you're not, when we say you ought to stop cussing, did you know that we're not trying to get you to give up talking altogether? You say, well, that's about all I ever say, so if I give it up, I might figure out something else to say. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You cuss all the time, you got something bad going on in your heart. But what is separation? Separation is from cussing to praising. Separation is from using God's name in vain to using God's name in worship or God's name in glory or God's name in your soul winning or God's name properly in your prayer life. And let me tell you all something. I'm going to tell you a place where we hurt people in regard to separation. We hurt people when all we do is talk about the taking away. Every preacher in here, let me explain to you how to grow people. You can throw a fit about anything you want to throw a fit about as long as you're teaching them the opposite that they ought to be going to. See, look, can I let me advise something to you about all of you about your health. I think you ought to separate from food that will destroy you. Now, the common person and their concept of separation is, you're gonna take everything from me. I'll die. No, when I say to you, I don't think you ought to eat bad food, I think we should replace it with good food. You'll not conquer diet by just dieting. You have to change your lifestyle. And say, what are you talking about? It's taking the bad out, putting the good in. And separation is from something to something. And we hurt people when we talk about separation, but we don't give them the unto part. Look, if somebody wants to throw a fit about bad association and going out and getting into all the world's organizations, let me warn you, I know preachers that throw fits about people being involved in all the world's organizations, and then they never have any activities for their teenagers at church. The adults never do anything together. They never do anything fun together. And so we're saying to them, you're to go from bad activity to nothing. So church is lame. There's nothing for them to do. There's no association. And so people can't stand that. I throw a fit about stay out of the world, and we're busy with activity around here to the point where I tell everybody, I know you can't do everything, but there's always going to be something available for you. Now, people can grow with that. They understand that. So we separate from cussing to praising. I think we are commanded by God to separate from immorality unto morality. In other words, here's what I think. I think you ought to stay, young people, adults, I think you ought to stay away from fornication. That's having a physical or sexual relationship with somebody that you're not married to. You say, well, what do I get out of that? Go to abstinence and virginity, and you say, well, how much fun is that? I'm going to tell you something. It'll be fun when you get married. It'll be fun when your marriage lasts. It'll be fun when you're pure. It'll be fun when you don't have a disease. It'll be fun when you can hold your head high and you can say, look, we've been married for 60 years. We made it! Successful 60-year marriages practice separation somewhere along the way. I'll guarantee it. So we separate from immorality to morality. We separate from looseness to purity. Now, how about this? And I'll help you. If you have an addiction, there are people in here, you have addiction. Do you want help? You say, I've got to get away from the liquor. I've got to get away from the drugs. I've got to get away from something bad. The problem is so many try to get away from the bad, and that's where they stop. I've helped a lot of people get over addictions. I don't have to have an 8-point program. I just let the Bible be our guide. Listen, separation from being filled with liquor to being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's what the Bible teaches. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What's God saying? I can help you separate from your addiction. I'm going to take you from the liquor to the Holy Spirit of God. Let me ask you, you have an addiction? Let me follow up with this question. You filled with the Spirit of God? You're going to have to say yes to one or the other. But you can't say yes to both. And if you say, I'm clean, I used to have an addiction. You better, if I were you, I'd walk in the Spirit. Say, what's that for? The Spirit will help you overpower any part of the flesh. Any part of the flesh. And so, separation is from something to something. Strength in separation is going from it to it. And there are many weaknesses in the teaching of separation. And through the years, hey, a lot of people have said to me, said, Brother Owens, you can't build a church in this day and age and practice separation like they used to. Yes, you can. But the problem is, you have people who get up and throw a fit about all the things they ought to separate from, but not teach in abundance where they're to go to. And so you've got a misbalance. And everybody develops a concept that separation is just taking away and we're being mean and we're just retracting. No, we're not retracting. We're replacing and we're giving you something far better. And if that were taught and if that were a part of the concept of the ministry, all sorts of churches could get back to having some standards and get back to having some conviction and the people could succeed at it. But you're not going to just take away bad music without replacing it with good, because people are not going to go without music. And you're not going to succeed by just taking away the bad food. You're going to have to replace it. I'll guarantee you, you will have a riot on your hands if you just try to take the bad food away. You got to replace it with diet ice cream. So separation, practically, is from two. You separate from worldly friends to spiritual friends. And folks, if you'll do that, you're going to save yourself a lot of grief. You say, what's God trying to do? God loves you. God wants you to separate from your worldly friends, but He's not asking you to give up friendship altogether. But you separate from the worldly friends, and then you go to spiritual friends. Then you do separation in music. Separation from the bad music to the good music. You go from rock and roll to the Psalms and country to the hymns. And from rap to spiritual songs. You go from the contemporary to the old time gospel. Nobody is going to give up music altogether. God is asking you to leave the negative and go to the positive. And the positive will give you the strength to avoid the negative. And so that's what separation is. It's from something to something. Separation, you're to practice it. You're to go from stealing to tithing and working hard. And just so you know, most of the time when people are stealing, obviously they're not earning that, so they're not working to get it. And there's an opposite there. Stealing is the opposite of work. So God said, I want you to separate from stealing. To do what? Work. Work for your money. And so I'm to separate from stealing, and I'm to turn myself to being good to God, tithing. I'm to work for my income. Hey, separation in what you read. You separate from Harlequin romances, and you read the Book of John. You separate from teen magazine. Teenagers, let me recommend something. You read the Book of Proverbs. You separate from Harry Potter, and you read about Jeremiah and David. You separate from Vogue magazine, you turn to the book of Matthew. You separate from Playboy, and you memorize Romans chapter 1 and 2 about what God does with all the perversion that Playboy will lead you to. God's not asking you to give up reading altogether. God's asking you give up bad reading and turn to good reading. God's asking you give up bad music and turn to good music. God's asking you give up bad friends and turn to good friends. God's asking you to give up the bad and turn to the good. That's what separation is. It's not just somebody trying to take something from you. It's somebody trying to give you something better in its place. Separation is men turning from having long hair to having short hair. You say, why? Because the Bible teaches it. It says, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. That's still in there, folks. You say, well, is that why we do a worker interview around here? And all the men that do a worker interview to work in a children's church or primary church in the bus ministry, they're told they got to keep their hair cut like a man. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, that's what the Bible says. I didn't pick that separation. It's what the Bible teaches. So separation is... I'm looking out at some bald guys. Separation is not from long hair to nothing. It's from a man having woman's hair to a man having man's hair. God said separate. Ladies, the Bible's pretty clear. Your hair's not supposed to look like a man's. I know people never teach that anymore, but still in the Bible. Your hair was given to you as a glory, so I don't think a lady's hair ought to look like a man's. You take a good long look. There are a lot of women out there that'll just hack her all off, make themselves look, you know, look like they're a drill sergeant in the Marines. And God said in the Scripture, in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a woman is to separate from a man's hair unto a lady's hair. Y'all okay? Is this too much for you? This is simple. This is only the fourth lesson. This is taking us somewhere. We'll get to where we're going. Separation is from the NIV to the KJV. Amen. Separation is from Joel Osteen to Lester Roloff. Separation is from WRNS 95.1 to FBN Radio. That's separation. Separation is from Jack Daniels to Sweet Tea. I got to tell you, I don't know what Jack Daniels does to you, but sweet tea is really hard on me. I drink much. You don't really want to see me beefed up on caffeine. I can get pretty loud and wild and bold. And I didn't have any tonight on purpose. What is separation? Separation is from cussing to praising. Separation is from immorality to morality. Separation is from liquor to being filled with the Spirit, or drugs to be filled with the Spirit. Separation is from worldly friends to separated friends. It's from bad music to good music. It's from stealing to tithing or working. It's from bad books to good books. It's from long hair on men to short hair on men. It's from short hair on women to longer hair on women. It's from the NIV to the KJV. It's from the bad preaching to the good preaching. It's from the bad radio station unto the good radio station. It's from the bad liquor to the good drink. Separation's from wild piercings to being adorned in a godly way. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9. Separations from wicked video games like Grand Theft Auto to doing your homework. For some of you, you would pass your classes if you would just stop playing your video games. Or Grand Theft Auto to Super Mario or Rocket League or Sonic the Hedgehog. Is that how you say it? I think there are some video games out there that are clean and decent. You say, preacher, you think I ought to give them all up? I don't think you have to give them all up. I think you ought to leave the bad ones and get to the ones that are decent and clean and pure. And I know you don't hear anybody say anything about that, but it needs to be said. And parents, you better watch what your kids are watching. You want to know why your kids are so violent towards you. And look at all the junk that they are putting in their brain through their video games and everything. And parents, I'll tell you something. You know, we didn't let our kids play the wrong kind of video games. Our kids did not run our household. Mom and Dad still ran the household. They were told what they could and could not do, but I didn't take all music away from them. There was music they could not have, but we supplied them with ample good music. We did not take all video games away from them. We took the bad and said, you may not have that, and we made sure that they had the good. They were told there are certain things in the world they could not go do. They were just not going to go do it. But you know what? We had them in a church where there were activities and there was fun and there were things that they could do. Separation is from watching Altered Carbon to going soul winning on Thursday night. Separation is from being a gossip on Facebook, with your mouth, with your texting, to being an encourager that causes people to love Jesus and the church more instead of less. Separation is when you stop gambling and you start saving the money that you gambled away. Separation is from nudity to biblical modesty. And I can prove to you with the Bible what nudity is. Some of you will be shocked at what the Bible says nudity is. On both men and women. We live in a beach area. I would not allow people in their underwear in my church. But people think that they can go to the beach in their underwear and it's okay. You say, underwear? Oh, just because it's got a print on it. Separation from clothing that is called an abomination by God to clothing that is called godly apparel. Now, there's a lot of separation that going on in the Bible. A lot. It's throughout the Bible. I've been teaching on the subject of separation for a long, long time. And I've discovered this. I've discovered that if someone is rebellious, you can't get them to do it. That they're just rebellious. If their heart's open, then you can teach them the Bible. And if you prove with the Bible what we're to separate from, they'll do it. If they're not rebellious. And you say, oh, that's outdated. God's not outdated. God's not outdated. Separation. You'll have to forgive me, folks. I've never been in anything but an old-fashioned gospel preaching church, ever. It's all I've ever been in. I didn't come out of some denomination. I didn't come out of some liberal organization. I've always been what I am today. God helping me, I'll continue to teach what my forefathers gave me, and I'll continue to teach items such as this. Not to hurt anybody. I'm obligated as a pastor to do it. You say, well, I know a church that doesn't. I know a lot of them that don't. But I'm not a lot of them, and we're not a lot of them. And again, I've had people say, well, you know, if you'd back off and if you just wouldn't be so pointed about certain things, you get a lot more people. I have to tell you something. I believe there's an element of our society that's looking for someone that'll just tell them the truth and teach them the Bible. It's, you know, I had one of our young men say to me recently, he said, I'm so excited about the sermons that you're going to preach on separation. He said, I want to know why we don't do what we do and why we do what we do. That's good. If you love the Bible and you'll have an open heart, I'll teach you some things about the subject of separation that will help you. Separation is from something to something. It's all the way through the Bible. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here this evening and you've never been born again, let me talk to you about something. You need to be born again because there's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. And you're going to go to one of the two places. You'll be separated from God for all eternity if you don't get saved. I'd recommend to you that you get born again. If you're not saved, you come during the altar call. And we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're a born again Christian, I wish you'd glance at the subject of separation. Just go through the Bible and look. Over and over and over again, God's saying, don't do this, do that. Don't go there, go here. Don't say this, say that. Don't be like that, be like this. What is it? God is separating your life. He's trying to take the bad out and put the good in. And it's in every aspect of our lives. And let God help you. He's not trying to hurt you. You say, what are you trying to take away from me? Oh my, you're wrong. We're trying to give you what's right. We want you to do what's right and to have what's right. And let me tell you this also. We'll have a lot of people, because of our stance on separation, they won't like it. Because we'll separate from certain things, they won't like it. But we have to stay separated. It's not our call, it's God's. Who here tonight would say, preacher, I think I've been challenged. I think I've learned something tonight. And I want to learn about the subject of separation. Would you let God see your hand? Lots of hands up. God bless you. Amen. We're going to have an altar call. If you need the altar, I want you to feel free to come. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Sanctification, the setting apart unto God. And he said in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, and ye shall be an holy people to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and severed you from other people that ye should be mine. Remember, if your preacher teaches you on separation, he's not trying to hurt you, he's trying to help you. And we're not trying to take something good from you, we're trying to take something that God would want you to have something better in its place. Separation is everywhere, everywhere. And everybody here believes in separation. Everybody does. I don't care if you are the most liberal person on the face of this earth. You believe in separation. You just want to pick your own. You may believe in separation based on human common sense, but you believe in separation. Separation is wrongly seen as just taking away. Separation should rightly be seen as from something to something. Separation can be practically applied in your everyday life. Just look. Parents, you want to help someone get away from something wrong, give them something right to go to. Thank God that separation that we'll experience between Jesus and the devil and heaven and hell, thank God for it. Separation is good. It's not bad.